We looked at Galatians, the first 11 verses in Galatians. Today we're going to look at the rest of the chapter. It's really kind of a continuation of the thought that Paul was going through last week. Just, he actually spends the first two chapters of Galatians just trying to convince the Galatians that he has the authority to tell them the truth in this matter, to show them that he has the authority from God and that the gospel that he preaches is the gospel of Christ. You know, we looked at and we saw that Paul's introduction and greeting to the church at Galatia, and we also saw Paul tell them the purpose he was writing, which was to combat the false and perverted gospel message that had begun to creep into the church at Galatia. False teachers had crept in and begun to teach falsehoods, but they'd also begun to slander Paul because Paul's gospel was, they were teaching something different than the gospel that Paul taught. So they began to, it's very heavily hinted throughout the book of Galatians that they were slandering the name of Paul, and this would also explain why Paul felt it so necessary to defend himself in regards to the gospel message that he preached. So they had begun to slander him and the message that he preached. You know, you see this all the time in politics. If you can slander the politician, then their message is invalid. And that's exactly what was going on here in the church. They were slandering Paul so that they could invalidate the message that he was preaching. In the second half of this chapter, Paul recounts his past in order to prove to the readers that he got the gospel message from Christ himself, and also that Paul had no reason to teach a gospel of grace, and that the church at Jerusalem had also approved of his ministry, even though they were not the ones who had sent him. So we're looking at verses 11 through 24. It says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me." So first we see Paul recounting the source of the gospel that he preached. In the first verse he says, "The gospel which was preached of me is not of man." So the gospel that Paul had preached unto the church at Galatia, which is the same gospel that we see throughout the epistles of Paul and also throughout the entire New Testament, Paul is saying, I did not receive it from a man, as we looked at last week. The source was not man, and he did not receive it from other man. And Paul warned the believers at Galatia and us that if any man, even himself, were to come with a new gospel, with a different gospel, that that person is accursed. So we are not to accept a new gospel from men or man. Only the gospel of Christ is truth and acceptable. It came by the revelation of Jesus. And this was the source that Paul received the gospel message from. You know, often when you're reading through commentaries and listening to so-called Bible scholars, they will talk about Paul's gospel or Paul's theology as if they were sourced in Paul himself, as if Paul came up with all of these ideas himself, and this was the source of where his teachings came from. However, Paul wants to make it very clear that it wasn't his gospel that he was preaching. He wasn't preaching something he came up with or he was taught by another man. He was preaching the gospel of Christ. That source was Christ. Paul received the gospel directly from Christ. He didn't get it second hand. And that's why he knew it was true. He didn't learn it from another man. He learned it from God. And so he knew it was true because its source is true. You know, the closer you get to the source of a message, the more confidence you can have that that message is the true message. You know, I'm sure you all remember playing that game Telephone as a child or seeing children play the game where one kid says a statement to one kid and then they whisper it in each other's ears down the line. And usually by the time you get to the end, it doesn't sound anything at all like what it started as. And there are some biblical scholars that would have us believe that that is how the Bible was written. That is how we received the gospel message, is through many infallible men who messed up a little bit here and there, and we really don't have the word of God, but we're trying to get it back, we're trying to figure it out. But we know, Paul even says later, and Peter as well, and Jesus, we have the word of God. You see, Paul did not have the New Testament, did he? He did not have the New Testament to tell him what the gospel message was, what Christ's gospel was. So he either had to learn it from other men or he had to learn it from Christ himself. And so he learned it from Christ. We have the Bible. So we can go directly to the source because, as we all believe, the Bible was written by God through the use. God used men to write the Bible, but the Bible is from God, and it is God's words to us. So just as Paul received the gospel message from Christ, so we also receive the gospel message from Christ through Scripture. But not only did he receive it from Christ, Christ is the gospel message. It's based on him. Without Christ, there would be no gospel. He is not only the source, he is the gospel. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 15 and read verses 12 through 19, you will see that the gospel message is dependent upon the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All three of those things are necessary for the gospel message. Without them, the gospel message is pretty much worthless. You know, Paul in that passage basically says, if Christ was not alive, if he did not die and was not risen from the dead, then we are of all men most miserable. Because we're basically suffering for no reason at all. I almost started reading the wrong chapter. Here we go. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. You can continue to read the rest of the passage, but that's just the introduction and an idea of what Paul's saying. The gospel is Christ, and without Christ, there is no gospel. And so Paul's saying, I got the gospel that I preached, I got directly from the source, Christ, who is the gospel. And now Paul talks about his conversion. And first he tells us about beforehand. He says, you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. You know, when I was first reading through this passage, I missed this interesting thing is that second verse that I just read. Before, we all know that before his conversion, Paul was killing the Christians out of zeal for God. The conversion of Paul is considered one of the two things in the New, one of the two events in the New Testament that the entire New Testament hinges upon. The other event would be the resurrection of Christ. And there have been many, many atheists throughout history who have tried to disprove one or both of those events, because they know if they can disprove either one, they've basically disproved the Bible. And yet no one's been able to do so. The conversion of Paul is a very important event in Scripture, and Paul is recounting it not only to remind them of what he was in the past and the miraculousness of how God saved him and gave him the gospel, but Paul was also using it to remind the Galatians of who Paul was. Because Paul used to be a Pharisee, which was a very legalistic sect of Judaism. What was the false teaching at the church of Galatia? Legalistic Christianity. Judaizers. Paul grew up as a Pharisee, the most legalistic sect of Judaism. So do you think Paul is an expert on that subject? Yeah, probably. And he, and not only was Paul a Pharisee, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was doing very well as a Pharisee. He wasn't run out on a rail and then decide, oh, he didn't get run out of the Pharisee sect and be like, oh, now what do I do? Oh, I guess I'll become a Christian. No, Paul was on track to become the leader. He was one of the, what they call the the golden boys. You know, he was one of their golden preacher boys, as it were. He was considered a Pharisee of the Pharisees. None of them had as much zeal as he did. None of them were as good at keeping the law as he was. He was upheld by the Pharisees as an example of what a good Jew was. He had zero reason to become a Christian if you look at it from a worldly perspective. Paul was profiting much as a Pharisee. By giving all of that up, he lost a lot. And by converting to Christianity, he lost everything that he had worked up to that point to get. He had spent years and years working hard to reach that point, and then he became a Christian and gave it all up. He lost the respect, he lost authority, he lost safety, he lost his power, he lost his job, he lost a lot of things when he converted to Christianity. That's very important when you're looking at what he's going to say to the church at Galatia, because he's going to preach, he's going to write and teach them against legalism, which was where he came out of. You see, of all men, Paul would have had the most incentive to try to warp Christianity in a legalistic direction. Not only because that's, but I mean, think about it. How hard is it to overcome things that you learned as a child? Things that you've grown up believing to be true all your life. That's extremely difficult. People are constantly having to if you learn false, if you learn untruths as a child, it's very, very hard to unlearn them. And yet, this Pharisee of the Pharisees was converted to the gospel of Christ through grace, which teaches righteousness can only be obtained through grace, not works. If you look at Paul's past, you would expect that he of all men would be the most likely to add works to salvation, to have a legalistic gospel compared to what the gospel message is. That is what he grew up believing and teaching. That is what he knew. That is what he understood. And yet, that is not what Paul taught. In fact, Paul taught the opposite. And so then we see in the next verses the conversion of Paul. He says, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." So after Paul's conversion, so first we see, why did Paul convert? Well, God called him. God spoke to him on the road as he was heading to kill some Christians, he realized he was wrong and he converted. But it says God called him while he was in his mother's womb. God had plans for Paul. And Paul also mentions that God called him by grace, not by works. Not because Paul was some amazing theologian or some amazing scholar, which, according to the Jews at the time, Paul was at that time an amazing scholar. He had sat under the tutelage of Gamaliel, I think it was, and he was his star pupil. And yet that's not why God called him. God called him by grace. And you think, wouldn't you think, that that kind of a man would be the perfect man to send to the Jews? And yet that's not what God did. God sent the fisherman to the Jews, Peter. He sent Paul to the Gentiles. And Paul even says that God called him to preach to the heathen. There was nothing about Paul that earned him favor in God's eyes. In fact, if you really think about it, Paul's actions before he was converted really should have prejudiced God against Paul, you know? Because he was killing God's people. So God's plan for Paul was to reveal his son in him to preach so that Paul would preach him, Christ, among the heathen. God called him as the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, Paul wants to be very clear here that once he was converted, he did not go to Jerusalem. He did not go talk to the apostles. The reason this is very important is because some of these false teachers that had come into the church at Galatia were basically saying that Paul had taken the gospel that the apostles were preaching and had perverted that gospel. Well, how could Paul be perverting the gospel that the apostles were teaching if Paul had never learned it from them? Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? You know, it says he, after his conversion, he went back into Arabia and returned to Damascus. Paul never spoke to the apostles before he began his ministry. He could not have corrupted their teachings because he had never been taught by them. So where did he get the source of his teachings, of the gospel? From Christ. For him to have perverted it would mean that his message would have to be pretty close to what theirs was, wouldn't it? He would have to understand what the apostles were teaching to be able to pervert it, correct? So if he didn't learn it from the apostles, then where did he learn it from, and how did he learn the gospel that was so similar to what they were teaching? He had to have learned it from the same source as they did, Christ. So it says that he went up there, and then he says, finally, 3 years afterwards, I did go up to Jerusalem and spent 15 days with Peter. Do you think 15 days would be enough for Paul to learn everything about the gospel? No, probably not. That's not very much time, is it? It was probably just enough time for Peter to get to know Paul well enough to say, you know what? This guy is sent from God. He is a fellow apostle. It wasn't enough time for Peter to teach Paul everything he knew. That's for sure. And that was the only of the apostles that Paul had spoken to. He says, I spoke to none of the other apostles save James, the brother of Jesus. And it's not speaking of James the apostle. It's actually speaking of James, the half-brother of Jesus, who was the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. So he wasn't even technically an apostle. So the only other apostle Paul spoke to was the only apostle Paul spoke to after those first 3 years was Peter. And then Paul left again, and next week we're going to see he didn't go back to Jerusalem for another 14 years. And we're going to talk about that next week when he actually confronts Peter over this very issue that he's dealing with the church at Galatia for. The reason and the question, of course, is why is Paul so emphatic about how little influence the church at Jerusalem had on him? Well, because if he had learned it from the church at Jerusalem, then he would have learned the gospel from men, and the accusations could have been true that he had perverted the gospel that he had learned there. But since he didn't learn it from them, he learned it from Christ, he couldn't pervert what he hadn't learned from them. It completely defeats the entire argument that the false teachers were trying to use against him. The church, and then the third point that Paul gives right at the end, the last verse, he says, the last two verses, but they had heard only, speaking of the church and churches in Judea and Jerusalem, that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. So his final little point in this part is, even though he was not sent from the church at Jerusalem, they still approved of his ministry. And if they approved of his ministry, it would stand to reason that they approved of what he was teaching, does it not? The church at Jerusalem was very pleased with what Paul was doing. They were very pleased with his preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. They were glorifying God because of what he was doing. Would they be glorifying God if he was preaching a false gospel? No, they would not. If he was preaching a perverted gospel, the church at Jerusalem would not have glorified God. They would have been sending people out to denounce him as a heretic, saying, no, he's preaching falsehood, just like Paul is now doing at the church of Galatia, denouncing the false teachers. How could Paul be teaching a gospel so similar to the one taught by the apostles if Paul had never learned it from the apostles? He would have had to have received it from the same source as they did, Jesus Christ. The false teachers had come into the church at Galatia and had seemingly begun to tell the church that Paul was perverting the gospel message that the apostles had taught. Paul counters this by showing us and the church at Galatia how it would have been impossible for him to do so, since he could not have learned the gospel message from the apostles. He learned it from Christ. Paul, by recounting his past, also shows how he, of all men, should be preaching a legalistic gospel, not one of grace. Yet here is Paul writing a letter to the church at Galatia, arguing against this legalistic gospel and in favor of the gospel of grace. How can we as Christians be sure that the gospel message we have been taught is the truth? Jesus hasn't visited each of us personally like he did with Paul. But that is where the Bible comes in. You see, Paul did not have Scripture. Paul did not have the New Testament. We do. God, through his infinite wisdom, used men to pen his words so that we could have the Bible to teach us the truth. So now we don't have to have a supernatural visit from God to learn what the truth is. We have the truth in our hands every day. It is good to learn about God and his teachings from other men. There are many good, godly men who can teach us a lot about God and how to serve him. And yet, we as Christians are ultimately personally responsible to make sure that we are being taught the truth. We can only do so by going to the source of the truth, God's word, by comparing what we are taught to what God has given us in his word. That is each of our individual responsibility. That's one of the core doctrines that separates Baptists from everybody else. The idea of individual soul liberty. Every single person is individually responsible for what they do with the truth. We can't say when we get to heaven, oh, but my pastor said this. God's going to say, I don't care what your pastor told you. What did my Bible say? Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't listen to your pastor. But what I am saying is that when he speaks, you should make sure that what he tells you is in accordance with Scripture. And if it is, then you better obey. But if it isn't, then there's many things you can do. You know, you obviously should just go to him at first. But our responsibility as Christians is each of us is responsible for finding the truth, learning the truth, and teaching the truth. Let each of us always view the Bible as the ultimate source of truth. Let's pray.